Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another solo mission to take a look at ROH episode 503. My son Jackson will not be joining me today if you're a regular listener on our Saturday show, where we talk about AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, some wrestling trivia, some wrestling figures. My son usually joins me, but he does not watch ROH at this point. He's waiting for them to get some fans in the arena, so I'll just talk about it myself today. If you'd like to contact us, fnswrestling@gmail.com is the quickest way, or fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or if you're listening to this on YouTube, you can just leave a comment there. I will reply to any comments we get, positive, negative, or otherwise. Just love to hear from anybody listening. So thanks for joining us if you're a first-time listener. Thanks for coming back if you're a repeat listener. And let's get right into our coverage of ROH episode 503 that I believe was from May 9th of 2021. So this week's show starts out differently from all of the others, as Ian Riccaboni is at the desk this week, since Quinn McKay will be facing Angelina Love in what we learn will be the main event this week. Also tonight, we're going to get Brian Johnson. He's issued an open challenge to the locker room, and someone has accepted it. They don't tell us now. We're going to find out later. And in the third match this week, we're going to get the reforming Briscoe brothers back as a tag team. They'll take on the team of Flip Gordon and EC3, who we are told are being teamed up by the Ring of Honor board of directors tonight, and this match will actually be the opener. There's an interesting mistake going into this first match, as Flip Gordon sort of makes his way out to the ring, and the announcers call this the TV main event. So either commentary made a mistake here, or the McKay-Love match was better than they anticipated and moved it to the switch the order of the matches to push that to the main event. That was my thought, because this is recorded ahead of time. Maybe they didn't anticipate that being a main event caliber match and ended up learning that it was and putting it there. Either way, there's a mistake here, because this is clearly not the main event, the TV main event, as they tell us. So that's fine. We get EC3 and Flip Gordon versus the Briscoes in this first match. So we cut to an EC3 and Flip Gordon promo as EC3 is entering. EC3 approaches. Flip says that since EC3 couldn't get the job done against Jay Briscoe, they've put him with Flip so Flip can help him out since he's beaten both Briscoes. Even though he's not getting an extra payday, he's here to give EC3 some assistance. EC3 says nothing, which I think is a great choice if you listen to this podcast. I do like EC3, but I can't stand the character he's doing right now where he just rambles and says really nothing. So the choice to leave him silent here, I fully supported. He just stares at Flip as Flip is saying all of these things. Flip's argument kind of made sense here, I guess. He does have victories over the Briscoes and EC3 doesn't. So the heel logic sort of applies there. It was a brief promo. It was fine. And EC3 was silent. So we all kind of win there, I think. Quinn then interviews the Briscoes backstage from earlier as they're sort of... It's this new style they're doing as the characters, wrestlers are making their entrance. They show sort of an interview from earlier, so that's what they're doing here again. EC3 has their respect, and they shook his hand, but Flip won his match with a low blow, and they're going to rip him apart. It was really just a standard Briscoe Brothers promo with Quinn sort of at the end, mugging and flexing kind of awkwardly at the end of it, trying to look tough, I guess. So just a standard Briscoe's promo. Nothing wrong with it, but nothing exciting. So the match does start, and we get a code of honor is adhered to by EC3, but not Flip Gordon. Caprice Coleman on commentary makes a crack about Flip not being able to find a tanning bed as he's standing next to a very heavily tanned and incredibly just jacked and shredded EC3. The guy looks unbelievable. It's like an action figure, honestly. EC3 and Jay start out with holds and counters. Mark gets in, and he takes control with boots. EC3 ends up in the Briscoe corner heading into a commercial. Mark stays in control until Flip hits Mark with a knee in the back as he runs to the ropes. EC3 doesn't like this because he's all about honor and being honorable, I guess, and he doesn't want his partner sort of taking shortcuts and cheating. So he goes over to call Flip Gordon out about it, and Flip tags himself in. So it's this whole reluctant tag team versus tag team of brothers, right, is the idea. Double team by the Briscoes, leading to a boot to Gordon's face and a double shoulder tackle before a t-shirt choke by Mark Briscoe. Flip stops the momentum by dragging Jay to the outside and hitting a wheelbarrow suplex on the floor. It wasn't executed quite as cleanly as I think they hoped. The landing kind of looked awkward a little bit, but still, it was kind of cool. EC3's in control with a running elbow drop and a face lock a little bit later. We get a jawbreaker to escape by Jay Briscoe, but a Thez press with strikes, which they are calling the Psycho Boy. I guess it's an EC3 signature move. I think it's ridiculous, and that they're calling it Psycho Boy, it just sort of snaps me. I don't know why. It just makes me angry. Suplex by EC3 and a blind tag by Flip Gordon to further showcase these reluctant tag partners. We get a nice Falcon Arrow for a two count by Flip. A springboard countered with a spine buster by Jay that looked pretty good as he tags out. Flip Gordon is choosing not to tag EC3, but he gets dominated by Mark with redneck kung fu and a flipping slam off the top. Jay takes EC3 out by running him into a barricade, joins his brother in the ring, and they double-team Flip Gordon. EC3's back with a double clothesline to take out both Briscoes before forcing Flip to make a tag. We get the redneck boogie by the Briscoes for a two count, which is like a powerbomb neckbreaker combination that looks pretty cool. Flip Gordon slides a chair into the ring as Mark is setting EC3 up on his shoulders for some other big move. The ref grabs that chair as he's distracted getting rid of the chair. Flip hits Mark with a chain. They later showed us the chain sitting on the floor because it was kind of tough to notice. You knew he used a foreign object here, but I wouldn't have been able to tell it was a chain without them letting me know. So they do, and they show it sitting on the floor a bit later. EC3 hits a not-so-great-looking TKO onto his knee, I think a move my son was telling me Sean Spears used to do, and a Scorpion Death Drop for the win here. The story was basically that the honorable EC3 won a match where his partner cheated without him knowing it, because commentary really went out of their way multiple times to drive this point home. Like, EC3 didn't even know that he cheated sort of thing was the plan. They did a decent job of telling this story. It was a very solid tag match, nothing spectacular compared to some things I've seen the Briscoes do. EC3's finishing combination looked kind of weak to me. Other than that, it was a fine opener. I imagine it's setting up some sort of EC3 Flip Gordon program, match, or feud. I'm not really interested in it myself because it's those two guys right now, but it could be some interesting matches, I guess. It is then Brian Johnson promo time. Yes, please. If you listen to me talk about ROH, Brian Johnson, his promos have been amazing. They're one of my favorite things in ROH, so I was very much looking forward to this, hoping I wouldn't be disappointed because I think he is an amazing promo at this point in ROH. He says that art does imitate life. The world is more divided than ever. Where your loyalties lie is how you are judged. He says the same is true here in ROH. Some build a kingdom, referring to the OGK. Some search for pure, referring to the foundation. Some believe violence is the answer, violence unlimited. And some believe they are truly righteous, talking about the righteous. There are some creating their own production to change the culture, which is Shane Taylor Promotions, while others have an entire faction for just their family, LFI. One man stands by himself with enough gas to set everything on fire, and that's the Mecca, Brian Johnson. To prove it, he marched into management's office, laid down an open challenge since nobody was talking about him. He's ready to start building his legacy in ROH. He will crash the rocket, LSG referring to. He will fill the Magnum with blanks, which is Dak Draper. He will bankrupt the mercenary, which is Flip Gordon. He will mock the stupid narrative, which is EC3. He will discipline dem boys, the Briscoes. He will turn the octopus into calamari, Gresham. He will lasso the bull, Roosh. He will dethrone the purple rain, Taven, and make the franchise fall. He rhymes off names of legends of ROH, says that his name will be there too, and it will always be Mecca versus everybody. I can't do this promo justice. Honestly, this was another home run by this guy. It was fantastic. He's so intense and serious, and he basically just called out the entire roster in a clever, believable, intense way. I love this promo. I'm probably going to make my son watch it just so that we can talk about it a little bit and he knows what I'm referring to. I'll say it again. Outside of Eddie Kingston and maybe Mox right now, Brian Johnson cuts the consistently best promos that I see each week, and I watch a lot of wrestling each week. I'm watching Dynamite, NXT, Impact, Ring of Honor, NXT UK, a couple indie things. I watched MLW this week. I watched Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and I don't see people doing a better job than Brian Johnson. Amazing stuff from him again this week. I highly recommend, if you don't know Brian Johnson or you're just listening to me to recommend something for you to see, this is what you should see from this show this week, in my opinion. Another Brian Johnson promo that was amazing. So now he's in the ring to see who answered his open challenge. Danhausen comes out with a mic. So Danhausen, he's already had a series of matches with, so I'm a little bit disappointed to see that it's Danhausen coming out, but it's a turn. It's not going to be Danhausen facing him. Danhausen says he heard about the open challenge, but since Danhausen has faced Johnson many times and he's doing his quirky like 1 7 out of 10 times or whatever he does, he brought a gift. I think he calls it a Gifthausen because that's part of his gimmick, is to throw Hausen on the end of everything. Danhausen's not really my cup of tea. I do understand why people find him interesting and like him. He's very different, very kind of quirky and unique. It's just, it doesn't work great for me, but I do get that people have really latched on to this guy, and that's totally fine. The gift he has brought is PCO, and Brian Johnson clearly isn't happy in the ring. He's yelling at the ref, and you can sort of hear him saying that he challenged any man on the roster and that PCO is a monster, because PCO's gimmick is that he's a cyborg or some sort of not human thing, right? So Johnson's upset, but he will have the match. So we get Brian Johnson versus PCO, and Danhausen joins the commentary team here. I don't have a lot to say about him on commentary. I tend not to notice commentary much when I'm taking notes and things on matches. So I'm sure he was entertaining for people that like Danhausen, but I'm not one of them. Johnson attacks right away, but PCO battles back, and we get a strike exchange. Hip toss blocked and a clothesline by PCO. Suplex into one corner by PCO, and then a Death Valley driver into the opposite corner. PCO basically dominates outside the ring as well. After a commercial, he backdrops Johnson over the barricade. PCO starts to what they call malfunction. So he takes out the timekeeper, he takes out the ring announcer, and he starts chasing the ref around the ring before running himself, just kind of diving into the barricade and taking out a section of the barricade for no reason. I guess this is his malfunction. I'm not familiar enough with PCO lately to know if that's something that regularly happens with him, but it did happen here. Brian Johnson is understandably confused, but he takes advantage and runs PCO into the barricade again. We get a top rope clothesline by Johnson back in the ring now, a suicide dive as they're back outside by Johnson, a top rope splash by Johnson, PCO sits up sort of a la The Undertaker. He then no-sells some strikes from Johnson before hitting a pop-up powerbomb. PCO goes up top, hits his moonsault. I thought it was over, but Brian Johnson raises his shoulder at two, and the commentary team are shocked, going on about people don't kick out of the moonsault. I thought this was a really good sign for Brian Johnson. They talk about that this is the move that pinned Roosh for the championship sort of thing, so leads me to believe maybe Johnson's going to win this match. We then get a rope-assisted roll-up as he gets his feet up on the ropes by Brian Johnson, because he's just a cheating heel, for a two count. PCO then simply puts his hands in Johnson's mouth and starts to pull his jaw apart, which I think they referred to as the Destro Death Grip, and Johnson has to tap out. The match was fine. I was really disappointed in the results. I mean, this guy, Brian Johnson, cuts an absolutely amazing promo on the entire roster, has an open challenge, and then immediately loses. This is not how I would have booked this at all. I get that they want to keep PCO strong, although I don't really disagree. He's like over 50 now, not moving super well. But why not let Brian Johnson get a win against somebody else then? Don't make it PCO. Make it somebody that Brian Johnson can start off this open challenge sort of storyline with a win. Maybe they have something else planned that I'm going to enjoy, but right off the bat, I was not happy with this decision. He, again, loses his first ever open challenge match. It's clear, I guess, at this point that they don't have plans to move Brian Johnson up the card, which I think is a mistake, because I will tune in to watch this guy cut promos, and he's good in the ring as well. I mean, is he the greatest wrestler in the world? I don't know, but he's definitely good enough to get lots of time based on how good he is in his promos. So a little disappointed in the result. The match was fine, nothing spectacular. In classic FNS wrestling style, right? It was fine. That's a lot of our reviews, but it's the truth. Sometimes things are just fine. We then move into an Angelina Love promo. Since arriving in ROH, she has always noticed jealousy and bitterness. She rhymes off her own accomplishments, says she was surprised that the backstage interviewer had the biggest problem with her. When you hear the name Quinn McKay, she says, you think of the age of entitlement, which is an issue in wrestling. People are green and haven't done much, feel entitled in this business. Quinn is an interviewer, and getting involved with Angelina was dumb. You can't just suddenly be a wrestler, and Love will teach Quinn that lesson. She did Quinn's job briefly and did it better, and if Quinn wants to challenge her to wrestling, it's hilarious, but she'll accept. Her partner, whose name I forgot and had to be reminded later, is Mandy Leon. She sort of walks up and asks Angelina in a snotty voice, like, why are you giving time to these people? Love says that she's just talking crap about Quinn, but she actually uses the curse word that they have to block out. They have better things to do. The video ends with highlights of Love's past attacks on Quinn. I actually quite like this. I thought it was a very strong promo by Love. Reminds us of the history she has with Quinn. I liked seeing those attacks at the end because I'd sort of forgotten about that. and it further added to the feud just in general by insulting her and her abilities and things. I thought a really strong promo. Angelina Love is still believable in this role that she's been playing forever. So yeah, she should have it mastered by now. She's been doing this same gimmick for over a decade now, but it still kind of works, I guess. I haven't seen it in a while. So there is a women's tournament coming up, so I think that's why they're sort of ramping up this whole thing. So Quinn then gets her chance to respond in a little promo. She says she never thought she would get this opportunity. Her first love wasn't wrestling. It was roller derby, which I found interesting. I did not know that tidbit about her. But now she can't stop thinking about wrestling. For 8 years, she was a competitive roller derby, I don't know if it's athlete, competitor, player, what they call it. But anyways, she is not experienced in the ring, but she has been training her whole life on how to fall down and get up again. She started training in the dojo 3 years ago, but she became an interviewer and host instead because those were the opportunities that came up for her. She loves her career and she loves ROH, but now it's her turn to tell her own story. She puts over Angelina Love's accomplishments, but says Love's bitterness and insecurity have held the women's division back. To help the division grow and flourish, Quinn will take the first step and stand across the ring from Angelina Love and cut the head off at the neck. She will show what she has learned, and if she loses, was any of this worth it? The humiliation, the work, the effort, she says, I guess we'll find out together. I thought this was a very strong babyface promo by Quinn. She is just the ultimate babyface here. I liked learning about her history in roller derby, which has some transferable skills to wrestling for sure. I like her motivation for the women's division, that she feels like Angelina Love just tears other women apart and destroys a division, which she definitely does within her character, and that Quinn wants to sort of raise the division and raise the profile of women, and that Angelina Love is acting directly against that. She's a perfect foil for Angelina Love in this situation. I just hope she can deliver in the ring. And again, considering that this show is pre-taped and they did decide to make this the main event, I assume that it's a decent match, but we're going to find out right now. Quinn McKay versus Angelina Love with Mandy Leon, and there are some stipulations on this. If Quinn wins the match, she gets entrance into the women's tournament, which, I mean, to nitpick, I don't think they did a good enough job of reminding us of that, and I don't even think they mentioned until the end of the match at all that if Angelina Love wins, she gets a bye in the first round of the tournament. So Quinn, as she's making her entrance, she's sort of in her traditional announcer's top, but she undresses and removes the shirt as she walks down, and she is jacked, this woman. I had no idea. She is in phenomenal shape. So good for her. So right away I was impressed. Commentary just killed things a little bit for me as it starts. They basically talk about seeing Quinn as an indie wrestler before coming to ROH, which she didn't bother to mention in her promo at all. And I imagine that was by choice. It was more for her to feel like she's a non-wrestler coming in and trying to wrestle. So the fact that twice as she's coming in here, they sort of talk about her on the indie scene, I didn't really appreciate. I thought it was sort of counterproductive to the story she was telling in her interview. But again, that's a little bit nitpicking by me. So we get holds and counters to start until a double leg takedown by Love, who then walks across Quinn's back disrespectfully as we head to commercial. Back from commercial, Quinn has Angelina on the mat in a headlock, and they sort of show us highlights from the commercial where she threw Angelina Love out of the ring and at one point applied a head scissor. We get a foot stomp, a knee to the gut, and a hair pull to the mat by Angelina Love. She's sort of taking shortcuts to stop Quinn's momentum at this point. Love slams Quinn's head into the mat repeatedly and starts talking trash. She chokes Quinn on the ropes with her boot, and as the ref comes to stop her and is distracted, obviously Mandy Leon joins in and starts choking Quinn on the bottom rope as well. Love shoves Quinn to the mat and poses sort of disrespectfully. We get a flatliner by Love into a Koji clutch, which was a pretty cool combination, I thought. Quinn screams and almost gets to the ropes as she's in this hold, but Love drags her back to the middle and reapplies the Koji clutch. Quinn is basically out and unconscious, and the ref's doing the thing where he lifts her hand once it drops, second it drops, third time it's dropping, but Angelina Love releases the hold, or the match would have been over because Quinn is out. So Quinn crawls to the ropes, and Love grabs her. This is where Quinn sort of gets a little bit of a comeback. She hits a jawbreaker, and Leon then grabs her foot momentarily. So Quinn turns, dodges the Botox injection kick from Love, hits a power slam for a near fall as commentary are absolutely freaking out. To be honest and fair, this is the only move she kind of hit to this point. I was expecting a bit more from Quinn McKay in this match, if I'm being honest. But anyways, it continues. So we get a Tangerine Dream submission, they called it, applied by Quinn. It looked a little sloppy to me. I'm not even quite sure what it was. Love gets close to the rope, just like Quinn did with her in her submission. But just like Angelina Love did, Quinn drags Love back to the middle of the ring and reapplies the hold. So Mandy Leon really starts talking from the ring apron. Quinn gets sort of distracted, releases the hold. And of course, the commentary team, this is a rookie mistake. This isn't something she should be doing. So she releases the hold to go respond to Mandy Leon. And as she gets over there talking to Mandy, obviously Mandy Leon drops to the floor. Quinn turns around right into the Botox injection kick. And Angelina Love picks up the win, and she earns herself a first round bye in the upcoming women's tournament. The match was more story than action, I thought. Quinn didn't really showcase much other than the phenomenal shape she's in. Like, yes, she did some grappling at the beginning and she got a couple holds, but really move-wise, she did a jawbreaker, she did a power slam, that was pretty much it. The submission she applied looked kind of awkward to me even. The promos for this match, I thought, were better than the match, but I don't think the match was bad. It does reestablish Love as the obnoxious heel she's been for over a decade now. And Quinn McKay is a really strong babyface character, but she clearly just needs to keep getting more polished and more seasoned in ring. She may have a future. I mean, clearly she keeps herself in tremendous shape and is willing to train really, really hard. So I think there's a lot of potential there. She's definitely a believable babyface character, especially to play opposite somebody as experienced a heel as Angelina Love. So really liked the promos, didn't love the match. And once I had heard they'd moved it to the main event, I was expecting a little bit better, but it wasn't bad. So overall, this show was a weird one for me, because I thought the promos largely outshined the in-ring action. The wrestling wasn't bad on the show, but there was nothing amazing either that I would send people out to watch. So if you're a person who's like listening to this to find out what you should go and see, I would recommend the Brian Johnson promo for sure. It was amazing. Probably check out the Quinn and Angelina Love promos. I thought they were really strong, not as good as Brian Johnson's promo, but still strong promos. The in-ring stuff, there was nothing that you really needed to see here, I don't think. So overall, I enjoyed the show, but mostly due to the non-wrestling portion. So I would have to say we always give the things we review a letter grade. So I'm going to say the ROH for me earns a grade of a B this week, which to me means it was entertaining, but not amazing. And if there's anything you go out of your way to find, it's the Brian Johnson promo. And if you do go out and find it, let me know what you think of it, because I don't think enough people know about this guy. I know not a ton of people are watching Ring of Honor. Kind of why I still do this review, because I've heard some people like hearing about non-WWE stuff. So go check out that promo and contact me and let me know what you think of them. But anyways, that's going to bring me to the end of this brief little solo mission of an ROH review. So as always, I'd just like to thank you for any time you spend listening. This is just a fun hobby my son and I have developed over this pandemic. We're going to keep doing it. If you like what you heard here, we always have our flagship show on Saturday evenings, somewhere around dinner time. Usually we get it published and out there, where we talk about AEW and NXT very much in depth, maybe too much in depth, but we enjoy it. We talk about some Impact Wrestling along with some other wrestling news and trivia and other things. So feel free to join us on that show on Saturday. I think we're up to episode 43 now. So thanks for any time you spend listening to me and my son talk about wrestling during your week. We really do appreciate it. And until Saturday, where I hope to see you all again, take care.